What's the beautiful thing about the gospel?
Grace.
Grace has made you flawless. When you accepted Christ into your hearts, he works on you. He loves you. He will guide you in the path that he wants you to be. He'll make you laugh a lot. He'll make you cry a lot, especially today, I hope. The laughter part, not so much the cry, although I see a little tear in my wife's eye. No salvation comes by works. You can't be good enough to work your way into heaven. It doesn't matter how good you are. And you shouldn't compare yourself to other folks. You shouldn't go, you know, I do all these good things, and this person over here is a millionaire. Why is that when I'm struggling? Salvation comes through faith in Christ. You can't be good enough. You can't earn faith. It's a gift that's freely given. I tell my youth students, because a lot of times they ask me to, you know, one of the things we do is we pray for all the people in their lives who are hurting and struggling. And when I ask them for prayer, and we're talking about what to pray for, and we'll address some of that as we come up. But one of the things that we say, you know, they ask me, well, how come, you know, some people who are really bad just seem to have such an easy life, and some people who do such good things end up with cancer, or they lose children whom they love? Some of you sitting here, you know who I am addressing. Love you very much. These things are so hard to go through in life. If you've lost a loved one, if you've lost a child in your life, if you've lost a spouse in your life, if you're struggling with cancer, you can do this alone, and it's going to be very hard to get through in life. If you do this with Christ in your heart, he will be there for you. He will give you a peace that comes only through him. Your salvation comes through Christ and your faith in him. You have to believe. It sounds so easy to do, and I know it's not. But once you have that faith, and once you love Jesus, the next thing that's hard to do, it was easy for me to forgive everybody in my life that had ever offended me, and I felt so bad. It's hard to forgive yourself. Are you sitting there now? Raise your hand if it's hard for you to forgive yourself but not others. I hold myself to such a high standard that I can't possibly meet sometimes. I have to stop and go, okay, God, I get it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to judge myself either. Ephesians, for grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God doesn't want you to boast about your salvation. He didn't like it when the Pharisees were in the streets in Jerusalem and making this big pompous production about how much they loved the Lord, because he knew that their hearts were filled with antipathy, pompous. They were proud. They suffered from hubris, because when they went away on their own, they didn't pray. They just wanted to be cool. So it's a gift that's given. How do you earn a gift? Do you earn a gift? When somebody gives you a gift, do you say, oh my gosh, they gave me a gift, now I owe them? No. A gift is given freely out of love. And the gift that God gives is eternal life. And it's not works-based. You know, I know a lot of people, Keith does so much for angel flights and for charity, and a lot of us sitting in this room, I'm looking at, I know, and you know, Bruce and his wife give a lot of time and effort to the community. Everybody sitting here whom I know. And it's so difficult because you think, okay, now I've done all these good things and I've given, but that's not what's going to save you. What's going to save you is what's in your heart when you stop and you go, Jesus, I accept you into my life and I thank you for your grace and I humbly accept it. And it should be humble. It's a gift that's given. It's not works-based. It should humble you. What greater gift can you be given than the gift of eternal life? Amen? I'm not clicking. Are you guys just doing that for me? Thanks, guys. 2 Corinthians. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Wow. Think about that for a moment. My grace, and I love Paul. For me, Paul was the greatest choice to be a disciple, because I think I've so many times compared myself and said, I'm not worthy. And then I think of Paul and I think, well, here's a guy who zealously went out killing Christians. He enjoyed killing Christians. Everybody was scared of him in Judea because they knew that he was going to come after him at some point. Okay? So he's on the road to Damascus. He knows a couple of disciples are there, and he's going to go there and get them and show them what for. And God humbles him on that path, strikes him to his knees, takes his eyesight from him, and says, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And then God chose this man, I believe, because he did have that zeal. And God changed that zeal for destruction against Christianity to being one of its greatest founding members. And when he writes in Corinthians to the church, he's talking to the church. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, I am strong. Listen, good things are going to happen to bad people, and bad things are going to happen to good people. What Paul is telling us here is, even those of us who have a relatively easy life, you're going to have struggles. Life's not always going to be easy. In fact, Christ says, in this life, you will have many trials and tribulations, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And here what he's telling us is, listen, when you call on me and you're at your weakest moment in life, that's when you should call on me, and that's when you will feel me the most working in your life. It's hard to lose someone, isn't it? It's hard sometimes when we struggle with our spouses, struggle with children, struggle with relationships. People get divorced these days sometimes. Then they have to deal with all the guilt that goes on with that. I'm telling you, you can take that pain that you have, the guilt that you have, the guilt over loss, the guilt that you might not have done something correctly, the guilt for the sins in your past, and you can lay it at the cross, and you have to forgive yourself too. It's easy to forgive everybody once you accept Christ in your heart and you've read God's word because it works on you. Forgive yourself too. Allow yourself the ability to go, okay, I've had all these things happen. I've worried terribly about them. And I did preparing this, by the way. And pray it away and lay it at the foot of God at the cross so that he can make you flawless. Once you've given it to him, have faith that he's going to act in your life. Don't stress so much about it. Stress is going to hit us in all ways in our lives. If you give that stress to God, if you feel yourself about to raise your voice to a spouse or a good friend in anger in any way, stop yourself, pull yourself for a moment and go, Father, please take the spirit of anger off of me. This is not how I want to act in the spirit. I've done this. It works. I've never raised, since I've been married to you, have I ever raised my voice to you? Nope. No, I just do what she tells me to. Yes, dear. May I have another? So grace is perfection and weakness. So we can click through to the next one. And he says, thanks, guys. So grace is sufficient. The power of Christ manifests perfection through your weakness. When you're at your weakness moments, like Paul was, but Christ gave Paul that weak moment. Christ gave him that weak moment so that he could then use Paul to do the great things that he did for the church. Paul, unlike these other guys who were fishermen and tax collectors like Matthew and Peter, this guy was learned. What a great choice. He spoke several languages. He was a Roman citizen. He now had free liege to go around the Roman Empire and write these things and to preach the people of the gospel. And he became a man of such faith. So what does this look like in your life? What are your weaknesses? What are you struggling with right now? What's in your heart that's hurting you? Are you having relationship issues with someone? Are you struggling with your health? All our health is going to fail. These bones, this sinew, this is all, it's done. There will be a resurrection for those of us who believe. But we're going to grow old. The natural course of God's law is going to take hold. But then we get to live with the Lord in heaven forever. How awesome that's got to be. Because I just think how happy I am sometime when the Holy Spirit amps me up here. And I'm thinking, oh man, that's got to be just like Disney World times 2000. So in your life, when you have weaknesses, what do you do in those weak moments? Do you wallow in them? Do you feel like, man, life's just not going my way? I'm just so depressed about this. Let me go grab this cocktail over here. I've done that in my life. Don't act like you haven't. So sometimes, instead of doing the things that we would do, stop and pray. When I've had those weak moments in my life, since I had my heart attack and came back, I just pray them away now. I don't feel anger towards anybody these days, except every now and again on the highway. And then I do have to stop and go, okay, Lord, please bless that person. I'm sorry. Because I'll look over and I'll say, man, if I was younger and not a Christian, I would tear you up. And I think, oh, man, that guy's like 78 years old and he can barely see the steering wheel. So Christ's power rests upon us in our weakness. That's the time when he's going to talk to your spirit the most. Are you listening? Do you want to talk to him at that time? When you're crying about your loss or your pain or your struggles, do you want those or do you want to lay them at the cross? You can do either. Laying them at the cross is what Christ would have you do. Because at that moment when you're at your weakest, he's going to come into your heart. You just have to ask him to. And he's going to rescue you from that moment. And this power is going to come upon you. And what is this power? Click? Yes. All right. Ah, very good. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What do you think God is telling us here? He is telling us that this power does exist, and this power is peace. Learn to calm your mind and your spirit and not be so anxious in life. It's easy to say. We've all been in those moments. But when you're in those moments, and I've exampled this both at work and with my friends, in those moments where things are really coming down hard and you need a direction to fix something, what do I tell people to do? Let's pray about it. I've done it with half of the people that are in here right now. So instead of being anxious, instead of worrying about your troubles, pray about what troubles you and be thankful. When you guys pray on your own, does peace not come over you? Do you not, when you take it to God and you pray and you're like, God, I got all this going on. I got this stuff. You know, this person over here is yelling at me. This person over there. Man, I just went to the doctor. You know, this is all coming at me at one time. When you pray, you feel peace. Pray more so that you can have more peace, folks. Amen? So this peace that comes over us, ours is a limited human understanding, but God and the Spirit will come upon you, and your spirit will be comforted by that. So now we're going to go to Romans 8:26. Hey. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I've struggled with what this means, and I've talked to our youth about it quite a bit because I try to get them to pray every day, many times a day. But do you see the motif that we're going with here? The Spirit, again, is helping us in our weakness. And in this case, it's helping in prayer. But God, when you pray, because we are so limited as human beings, we're flawed, we're filled with sin, we don't deserve salvation, we can't work our way into it, we can only accept it. It's given freely as a gift. So rejoice in that gift. And when you pray, know, you may not have the right words while you're praying. You may be stumbling through your prayer. You may be new to Christianity and going, well, I'm not exactly sure how I should pray. Or, you know, I say the prayers I'm supposed to. I got the Psalms. I got the stuff in the Bible that I normally pray for. Have a personal relationship with God. Tell God what you're struggling with. Tell him what your hurts are. If you're struggling with addiction, tell him what your addiction is and ask him to help. If you're struggling with anger, tell him what that anger is being brought on by and ask him to help. And even if you don't sound like someone who is a doctorate in words, epistemology, PhD, I don't know if they give PhDs in epistemology, but you know what I'm saying. So The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will intercede for you and tell God what you need, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us to read our hearts. And it's fascinating to me that the Scripture says intercedes to us with groanings too deep for words. So this is a spiritual language, and I wonder, because I haven't been able to find it, because I looked, I couldn't find any more, but I wonder, when we get to heaven, are we going to be able to speak that spiritual language? Are we going to, like, speak a different language, and it's the spiritual one that the Holy Spirit speaks to God and all that? Just a thought. But pray, and in your prayer, you will find the peace that God is talking about. The power that he has in your weakness, the power is to give you peace. I wish there were peace on the planet. Greater is he who is within me than he who is within the world. We know that there are going to be many trials and tribulations and bad people who want to usurp power, don't believe in God, and would just as soon blow up half the world just for the sake of going, I did it. So now I'm going to move on to Revelations, because I timed this pretty well. I can't believe this is coming out so well with the timing. Because I know Pat has to pick somebody up at 11:30, right? So Revelation 3:20, and Chris has gone over this one in the past before. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Is there anyone here who knows who Christ is? Because even Satan knows who Christ is. Is there anyone here who has not yet opened that door, but you're thinking about opening that door? You don't have to raise your hand. I want to single you out. But when we pray out, I want you to ask Christ to come into your heart. Or if it's been a while since you prayed, and it's been a while since you opened your heart up to God that much, because let's face it, it's hard to open up our hearts, because what will happen is you'll feel those emotions come over you. Go through those emotions, folks, because the vine dresser will bear good fruit. If you open the door to your heart and your spirit, if so, Christ will eat the bread of life with you and make you flawless through his grace. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you broken. We understand that none of us are worthy. It's so hard sometimes, Father, to accept your grace. We give it to other people because you tell us to, but we don't give it to ourselves. We want to hold on sometimes so deeply to that anger, to that hate, to that sorrow, to those things which would keep us from knowing the Spirit and being close to the Spirit and being able to love others with the Spirit. And Father God, I just pray today that if there's anyone who is holding on to those things, that they lay them at the foot of the cross, that they open up their hearts to you so that you would go into their hearts and eat with them. With your grace, give them eternal life through the word. And I pray this and all things in Christ's precious name. Amen.